how you guys had an extra hour of sleep, right? Did anyone just raise your hand if you just stayed up an extra hour knowing that you had an extra hour? Yeah. So you didn't actually have an extra hour. You had an extra hour of being awake. Right? All right. You guys, turn with me as you get your Bibles, or if you already have your own Bible, if you turn to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And can someone say the page number? 915. Okay, turn to page 915. All right, so it's been over a week since Gary was here. Gary Solosi was here last week since we've been in Timothy. So I just want to kind of just catch you guys up. So last time we left off in 2 Timothy, Paul was what he was doing is he was contrasting himself to the leaders of the time, right? Let's see here. Do this? I'm not going forward for some reason. All right. What was happening is, as Paul left off and to Timothy, and he was contrasting himself to other leaders. Remember, so he was talking in the immediate context. He was talking about Johnnies and Jambres from the Egyptian times, but really, what he was contrasting himself to, in some ways, were these guys, Hymenaeus, Philetus and Alexander. These were the guys who were at the Church of Ephesus, who were teaching the church falsehoods, teaching the church things that were like, say, they said, look, the resurrection's already happened. We all have resurrected bodies. So they were teaching things that were not in line with God's word. All right, and where he left off was, oh, nuts! Why can't my little clicker work? He was contrasting these guys with himself and saying, look, Timothy, you know me. You've seen my life. You've seen my suffering. You've heard my teaching. Plus, you've heard the teaching of your mom and your grandmother. So stay with it. Stay with the word. Stay with what you've heard to know that you know to be true, right? And so I talked to you guys last time. I was talking about how to follow godly leaders was one of the things. It's like, look, I gave you some tips of like, when you guys go into another church, if you go off to college or if you move someplace else, here's some things you want to think about when you're looking for a church and when you're under a new church leader, you know, make sure that you're following a godly leader, someone who preaches the word of God, who sticks with the word. And I gave you several other kind of tips to think about, okay? And then the other thing was continuing what you've learned. It's like, yeah, Timothy, you know, okay, so like you're in the situation where there's been some false teaching, but you know it. You know what the truth is because you grew up under that teaching. You know what's right. You know what's true. And so continue in what you've learned, okay? And so now we've come to the point where Paul is, he's closing out his last letter. He's penning his last words to Timothy. And remember, when we first started this book, I put up a bunch of different quotes. I showed you different quotes of last quotes before people breathe their last, or some last words that people said right before they passed away. You know, and there were some pretty profound ones and some kind of goofy ones, or like, that's your last words. But we're reading now Paul's last words, okay? And so, you guys, I've kind of talked about kind of the situation of where he was and kind of how he spent his last days, but I wanted to just show you a really kind of a brief clip just so we can kind of get Paul's kind of mindset of like, okay, this is where he was penning this last letter to Timothy. So I'm going to have Nick kind of pull up, it's only like a 10-minute clip, but it just kind of just shows you kind of what Timothy was going through, what he was experiencing. Hopefully the technology works.
might have a pretty hard time finding this place in most tourist books about Roman Italy. That's a sad thing because this is the Mamertine prison. This place was built in 386 BC, and that means that by the time that Paul and Peter were imprisoned here, this place was 400 years old, but eventually it became a dungeon. And as a dungeon, it's a pretty dreary place. And when we go in there, you have to think, wow, this place, sitting on the top of the largest of the seven hills of Rome, was originally a place that held water and water flowed out of, but also became the very place where the book 2 Timothy has flowed out of throughout history. So you have to come all the way down to the second floor to be able to go into the dungeon. These steps are actually new. They were put in later to allow people to be able to walk down into the dungeon area. But these didn't exist. Originally, you had to go through that hole. This is it. This tiny little dungeon is the Mamertine prison. This is where the Apostle Paul and more than likely Saint Peter were imprisoned before they were executed. This little place holds so much history. So the Roman soldier would undo the latch there and allow the prisoner just to be dropped in here. There's no other way to get in. And then the prisoner would just spend his time here in this musty, dingy, dark, cold place. It's a horrible place to be, rat infested, and just a horrible place to spend time. You know, in this tiny little dungeon, I would imagine the one spot that would be bearable to maybe lay your head would be right here in this corner. I would think that maybe the Roman soldier that Paul was chained to would be there. That would be the prime spot. He'd probably get that spot. And then with his hands chained to this post, the chain would probably kind of go all the way through here and then be chained to the Apostle Paul. And this is probably where Paul spent his last few days on earth before he was taken outside the city and beheaded. By the way, can you imagine being the Roman soldier who was assigned the duty of having to guard the Apostle Paul in this tiny little room? Talk about being a captive audience to the greatest evangelist we've ever known. Can you imagine Paul, the guy that went everywhere, 10,000 miles on foot, and preached the gospel every single place that he went? He got stoned for it. He got beaten for it. He got shipwrecked for it. He never stopped through all of that. Can you imagine him in here? There's no way that he didn't share the good news of Jesus to this soldier. The irony there, that he is the one who is the prisoner, but he's talking to that guy about how to be set free. And Paul is sitting here, and he's spending his very last days with a sense of urgency, and he's writing to his son in ministry, Timothy. This is where 2 Timothy was written. More than likely, this is the place where Paul began to pen his very last letter. The guy that wrote a fourth of the New Testament wrote his very last words here. He knows that these are his last days. He knows that he's not getting out of that hole, out of Rome again, without being killed and martyred. He knows that these are his last moments here on earth. And what is he doing in these last moments? He's not having a pity party. When you read 2 Timothy, he does mention over and over and over again, he's not denying the fact that he's about to be killed. But in all of that, he says, surely to live a godly life, you will be persecuted. This is why I've come anyway, to give my life away. So Paul is writing to Timothy, and as he's writing, I just imagine in my mind someone as passionate as Paul, maybe even out loud speaking these points. Well, let's just read some of this together. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:2, he says, Timothy, preach the word. Preach it. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and with careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. How prophetic is that? Wow. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. He's saying to this young man, look, people are going to want to hear what they want to hear, but that's not your calling. Your calling isn't to tell people what they want to hear, to make people feel good about themselves. Your calling is to tell people what they need to hear. He's saying in and out of season, when it's popular and when it's not popular, when it seems to be the easy thing and when it seems to be the only thing to do, preach the word, tell the truth. Do the work of an evangelist. He's saying the Bible is offensive. The truth sets people free. And you're called to it. And he's saying discharge all the duties of your ministry. These are powerful words for all of us to hear, because the call of ministry is the call of Christianity. We're all called by the Great Commission to go out and to tell the truth. When Paul says a time will come where people don't want to hear sound doctrine, I just think, wow, Paul, you think people out there in the Roman Forum didn't want to hear sound doctrine? Well, things haven't changed. If anything, they've gotten worse in my days. And in these days, it's more important than ever to think about these words from the Apostle Paul, not just written to Timothy, but God's inspired truth written to you and I, calling us to in and out of season stand firm on the word of God. And as he's writing his very last thoughts, this is what he has to say. He says, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. You know, history tells us that the Roman citizens would be taken outside the city and when beheaded would be turned upside down so that all the blood could rush out of their body. And that's what Paul is showing us right here. He's saying, Timothy, when you read this letter, when you finally have it in your hands, I've already been poured out as that drink offering for God. And the good news of that is this. I'm at the end and I can tell you I finished it. I finished the race. I didn't just start strong. He says, I finished the race. I fought the good fight. I stayed faithful. What is he saying to a young Timothy? He's saying, more important than starting strong, more important than just being this adrenaline-driven minister, more important than Red Bull Christianity, where it's just all caffeine and caffeine and go, 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 is this steady, long pace of not just starting strong, but staying strong and then finishing the race for God. What can we do to make sure that we are faithful? What can we do to make sure that we've kept the faith, that we fought the good fight? Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think, I don't want to just start strong, I want to finish strong?
Okay, Nick, you can cut it off there. So yeah, that hopefully that gives you a little bit of a taste of maybe what Paul was thinking, kind of his mindset. You know, like Sam's mom and dad went to Rome a little while ago, and I was like, you guys have to go to this. This is the place where Paul, you know, wrote his last letter. And you notice, I don't know if you caught it, but where that guy was sitting, there was like an upside down cross. I don't know if you caught that. I was like, oh, what's up there? And I'm sure that wasn't there, obviously, when Peter was there. But the upside down cross is, again, remember how Peter died? He was crucified upside down. So it's kind of a remembrance of how Peter probably spent his last days there as well. All right. So just to give you a sense of maybe what Paul was, what his mindset was, who he was with, where he stayed in his last days. So what I want to give you this morning is just three instructions on finishing the race, okay? Three instructions on finishing the race. So let's take a look at what Paul has to say, starting in verse 1 of chapter 4. In the presence of, and my version will probably read a little bit different than yours because yours is New Living Translation, mine's New International Version, okay? So in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who judged the living and dead, in view of his appearing in kingdom, I give you this charge, Timothy. Okay? And so look at those words that he starts out with. This is not a PS. This is not like a postscript. This is not a BTW in Facebook terms of like, here's a few more words for you just to let you know. No, this is not that at all. This is like in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, you know, who will judge us. You know, Jesus is coming back, who's going to be making his appearance. His kingdom has already started. He's going to be coming back and judging us. I want to give you this instruction, this charge, Timothy. Okay, so it's not just kind of like here's some last parting thoughts, you know. It's like, this is what you need to focus on, Timothy. To finish it strong, this is what you need to know, right? Okay? This is what it is. Here comes the first of his instructions, okay? Verse 2. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Okay? So the first one is preach the word, okay? Preach the word. I really feel like when you hear this, when you hear Paul saying to Timothy, preach the word, you can understand why. I mean, Timothy, again, was at this church in Ephesus, and he's like, look, stay with the gospel. Preach the good news, because there was these other guys that were preaching something else that was different. I want you to say it out loud. I want you to preach it out loud. But I'm telling you guys, where you're at, yeah, we're not in Timothy's spot right now. And I know you're like, well, I don't know, what am I supposed to do to preach the word? I mean, I'm not like a preacher. I'm not going to stand up and preach the word. But you guys do. You do preach the word, okay? I was talking with Joe Chalufo this past week, and again, we were just kind of going through what we went through in last Sunday school. And, you know, he was giving this picture, and I shared back with him what he was sharing with us. And he's like, Brady, when you share back to me what I shared with you guys, again, it just is a reminder to me. It's just a reminder to me to, again, we were talking about being connected, being intertwined with God. It's just a reminder to me. And so I said, Joe, that's what it is. It's preaching to each other. And so when you guys talk about the message, when you guys talk to each other, it's not a three-point sermon or anything that you're talking about. When Paul's saying to Timothy, preach the word, and when you guys share with each other, when you encourage each other, like, through Facebook, through notes, through out loud, when you talk about the word, you're preaching to each other. That's what you're doing, right? Also, I talked with Kevin, Kevin last night. He's not here right now, but he was saying, you know what? He said, you know, when I connect with my friends who are outside the church, who don't go to the church, don't know the Lord, and he said sometimes they'll come to me in really tough times, because I've got friends who are in the church who know Jesus, and then I've got friends who are outside the church who don't know Jesus. And he says when those friends are in trouble and they come to me, he said sometimes I'll give them a little bit of scripture. I'll encourage them with just a touch of scripture, you know, just some encouragement. And he says it's so powerful sometimes. He's like, my friends, sometimes they respond to it. So you guys, you can preach the word. You don't have to be a pastor to preach like the word to each other, to those outside the church. But more importantly for you and for me and for all of us is to be the message, right? To be the message. This is a quote. It's assigned to Francis of Assisi, but they don't really know quite. They're not quite certain that he said it. He said, "Preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words." Right? If necessary, use words. That being, look, for you, what it is, and for me, is to be the gospel, be the good news. We preach it by our lives. Our message is our life song, right? Our message is our life song. My vision for myself, my vision for my family, my vision for you guys is that the message would be so much in you, you would be so rooted in Christ Jesus, so filled with him, that you would ooze the message of Christ Jesus wherever you go. Ephesians chapter 5, I think it is, says, don't be filled up, don't be drunken with wine, but rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, in other words, you know, when you drink, when people drink and they overdrink, it kind of affects how they act and how they behave, and they're filled up with wine and they're just acting different, wild, strange. He's like, don't, instead of that, be so filled up, be so connected, so overfilled with Christ, you know, with the Spirit, that it just, it overflows. I just wanted to, like, I want you guys to be so, so filled up with Jesus Christ and His Spirit that it just kind of just oozes out of you wherever you're at. You know, once I was, I went running in the gym, and I had eaten for some reason that day, that afternoon, I'd eaten a salad and I'd eaten a bunch of cucumbers. I'd eaten a bunch of cucumbers. And I was running, this was back in Mount Prospect in Illinois. I was running on the treadmill, maybe for a half hour. I started to sweat, and I smelled like cucumbers. I was sweating like cucumber juice. I don't know what it was, but I think that's all I had was a salad and just a bunch of cucumbers on it. And so it just, I smelled of cucumbers. And it wasn't like a strong scent where the person next to me running could go, is there a cucumber? You know, but I could just, I'm like, I smell like cucumber. But you guys, that is really, I mean, that's kind of how I want you guys to be, so that when you're like, whatever you're doing, wherever you're at, whoever you're with, that, you know, that you preach the gospel always, and if necessary, you use words, that it, like, you're so filled up with Him, you're so connected with Him, you so enjoy Him, you enjoy Him so much, and you talk with Him all the time, and then you're knowing who He is, you're obeying Him all the time, that, like, wherever you go, it's like, people can see who you are, and they can see something different. They can see your supernatural joy, your supernatural grace, supernatural kindness, that you're able to do things that are offbeat. Like loving your enemies is like totally like Jesus, but totally like, who would ever think of doing that? Who would ever do something kind to their enemies? It just blows you away. You know, that's not normal. That's not natural. Or people, when you're not only like supernatural joy, but when you're in the midst of a trial, that people can go, they look at your life and go, why is this person, while they're in such a troublesome time, why do they have so much hope? Why? Why? You know? And what that is you're preaching the gospel with your life, right? With your life. So be the message. Be the message. And that's Paul tells Timothy why, though, why he needs to be the message, right? Look with me in verse 3, and it says, here's why, Timothy, here's why you need to preach the word and be prepared in season and out season, correct, rebuke, and encourage. Because for a time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will also turn away their ears. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Okay? So here's why. He's like, look, there's going to come a time, Timothy, when you may talk about Jesus Christ and the power of the cross, and no one's going to want to hear it. And, you know, at least in Timothy's time, that specific time, again, I think that was already the case. There was already, like, people, like, particularly those leaders, you know, who were kind of preaching a different, a gospel that didn't line up with the word. But he's like, look, there's going to come a time when, so preach it, because there's going to come, well, there's no one's going to want to hear it. It's going to fall on deaf ears, right? This is 2006, actually. This book came out. It's called The Secret, and it's by a woman named Rhonda Bryan. And it was a huge book. It's been translated into 44 languages and has sold 21 million copies are in print of this book, okay? But here's the deal. It's what it says in a nutshell is the universe is governed by a natural law called the law of attraction, okay? The law of attraction. And so what it is it's said to work by attracting into the person's life the experiences, situations, events, and peoples that match the frequency of the person's thoughts and feelings. So in other words, So in other words, say you're dealing with illness, and you begin to practice this natural law called the law of attraction, and you attract health to yourself by thinking about health. Or if you're crushing on a guy or something like that, and you begin to think about attracting him, you know, then it'll happen. It'll come true. this is what it says, right? This is what it says. So if you can do that, and so her whole book is on this kind of thing of like, think about it, and it'll come to you. It'll come to you. Bring it to yourself. Bring it to yourself, because there's a natural law that says that this is true, right? Of the universe that runs this, right? And so she was, she's kind of tapped into something that people long for. They're looking for something. Everyone's looking for like that relationship that's going to fill them. She's looking for that health that I don't have, you know? People are looking for answers. And so, man, this kind of touched with people. And it really, again, has to kind of do with positive thinking. What happened was she was really, she had experienced a trauma in her life in 2004, and her daughter gave her a book called The Science of Getting Rich. The Science of Getting Rich was written in 1910, actually, by Wallace Wattles. And so this book is kind of largely influenced by that book of like, hey, you think about wealth, wealth will come to you, right? Wealth will come to you, right? So, and then in 2009, a book for teenagers called The Secret to Teen Power, okay? Secret to Teen Power was written by, there was a film called this by a guy named Paul Harrington, and so he came out with a book for teens based on this as well. So I'm telling you guys, it is prophetic. I mean, this passage that we read of like, there's going to come a time when men will not put up with sound doctrine. You know, it's now. It's really now. And it's just going to kind of get, I think it's going to get worse, where people just like, anything but Jesus Christ. I'll believe anything but Jesus Christ, right? So there's a reason why Paul is telling Timothy to preach the word and to continue in what you've learned, right? Stay with what you've learned. He says in 2 Timothy 3:14. Here comes the second instruction. Okay? Endure hardship. Okay? Endure hardship. So it says this, but they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, Timothy, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Okay? So if you think of Paul's life, and again, on the video, it's kind of mentioned. Paul is telling Timothy, like, look, I know this ministry is hard that you're in. I know that life is hard. The ministry that you're in is hard. Your personality doesn't fit with you know, leading this church of preaching and correcting and rebuking. But endure hardship. Do the work of evangelism. And if you think of Paul's life, man, he did. He lived it out. I mean, the guy was literally shipwrecked. I mean, he literally ran into it. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was imprisoned. He was bitten by a viper. He was bitten by a snake. All in the process of, in the fulfilling the purpose of sharing the good news. Sharing the good news. I mean, if there was one thing that drove Paul, one thing that just empowered Paul, that just like Paul just thought about all the time, it was sharing the good news. It was the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. He says in 1 Corinthians, I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might have some know the gospel. I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings. Right? Like, he's like, by any means possible, I preach the gospel. I go anywhere I can to share with anyone who will listen, because that's my purpose for living. That's my purpose for living. I'm like, wow. Wouldn't it be great where it's like, isn't it freeing in some ways, where your purpose is so clearly defined and you are so focused on it that like nothing else matters? It doesn't matter if I'm shipwrecked. It doesn't matter if I'm imprisoned. I mean, wouldn't you like to have that focus where you're just like, this is my life purpose. And so from now until I die, this is what I breathe, and this is what I'm about. And in some ways, some ways it sounds like laborious. But for Paul, and it was work. I mean, you're not going to deny for Paul, it wasn't like hard work. He traveled, like, again, like 10,000 miles on foot. I mean, he just went from place to place sharing about Jesus Christ. But man, wouldn't it be free to go, I know what my purpose is, and it doesn't matter what happens to me. Like, I don't care, because I just, this is what I'm going to do until I die. So, endure hardship, right? And I know that that you guys, I want to keep things real for us. I know that right now, like, we're not Paul, so we're not enduring this. You guys aren't worried about being shipwrecked, are you? We're not worried about being, like, beaten. We live in America, right? So what is this hardship for us? And we're not Timothy, because we're not in a church right now where it's like we have to, like, aim, because there's false teachings, and we have to, like, endure hardship, right? So I've thought of, like, what does it mean for us to live this out, to, like, run the race, endure hardship? And so I thought of three areas that you guys will have to endure hardship in order to finish the race, in order to end your life with Christ, you know, strong. The first one is, first area I think that you'll have to endure hardship is personal trials. In this room, we have, Christina, how old are you? 11. Okay, we've got 11 all the way up to whoever the oldest is in this room. It's not me. They're like, you know, 50-something, you know, 11 through, how old are you, Alex? 51. 51, right, 11 through 51. And so, you know, there's a wide range. But I'm telling you guys, you're 10? Okay, so we've got a 10 to 51. And I would say, you guys, by your mid-20s, I mean, you're probably, you're blessed if you haven't had, like, a really hardship when you're young. I mean, some people, you know, wow, they're born into hardship. Or, you know, they experience, like, some sort of pain in their family when they're young. But I would say, most likely, by the time you're in your mid-20s, you've probably had some sort of personal crisis of some sort. I mean, maybe right now you're like, hey, life is pretty good. And for me, like, I had pretty happy days until my junior year in high school. I've shared with you guys how I struggled through depression my junior year, and just really hard time. But I'm sharing with you this with you because I'm just saying, like, you know, when you're 10 or when you're 50, by the time you're 51, by the time you're 50s, I'm sure there's been several episodes in your life where it's been like, it's a hardship, and the temptation is like, this is just too much work. I just would rather just not. There's got to be an easier way than Christ, and Christ is not doing it for me. So I'm gonna go off and do something else. I'm gonna try something else. So the one of the things you'll have to, like, kind of your hardship may be like staying with Christ to finish the race through a personal crisis of like, no, I'm not gonna leave Him. In fact, I'm going to call out to Him during this personal crisis, during this hardship. So personal trials will be one, in order to finish the race. Two, the church. You guys, we'll talk about this next week in more depth, but a second area is, like, as you grow in the church, you'll realize that, yeah, like, the leaders, the pastor, it's just, you know, people in the church will disappoint you from time to time. It's just, that's just church. Because we're all in the process of being transformed. It's just how it is. I mean, I met with a brother 2 weeks ago, and he was looking for a church. And I know this brother, my friend. I challenged him, and I said, look, I know you're looking for a church, and you have the tendency, my friend, he gets irritated with people pretty easily. I don't know if you know people like, they just get irritated by small things. And I said to my friend, I said, look, when you go to a church, find a church, again, that preaches God's word, that has godly leaders in it, but friend, I want you to stay there, because after a while, you'll get settled into the church, and after a while, someone in the church is going to disappoint you. Someone, maybe it's not even the leaders, maybe it'll just be someone that you're friends with in the church, some brother or sister is going to disappoint you, maybe hurt you, but you need to finish the race. You need to, I said, instead of like leaving and like going to another church where you'll go to that other church for a while, another church family, and what you'll find is you'll go there, you'll like it because it's just fun, you know, like, oh, this is a cool new group of people, blah, blah, blah. But then what will happen is like you'll get hurt again sooner or later. If you stay there long enough, someone else will disappoint you. So I just said, I want you to focus on just staying in it, okay? Work through it. Stay there and work through it, okay? So that's another trial. If you want to finish the race strong, endure hardships, personal trials, the church. And then the last one, the last, since we're not at this, at least this point in history, we're not being persecuted, we're not being imprisoned, at least yet. I mean, maybe in 20 or 30 years, who knows? I don't know. But the last thing I think that you guys, that we have to endure is culture. Okay, is culture. Either subtly or in an overt sense, I don't know if you can say it's a hardship, but it's something that we're always going to have to kind of endure. I don't know, our culture, there's parts of our culture, some small parts of our culture that may like bring us closer to Jesus Christ, but as a whole, our culture is largely kind of like subtly wanting to kind of pull us away. And you guys, you know, I think it's this, it's like the longer the more I like read God's word, the more I'm able to, I feel like kind of look at our culture and kind of discern like, oh, that doesn't jive with this, it doesn't match up. Or before I was like, oh, that's just fine, you know, what's the big deal? So I was at Sarah and I, we mall walk. Yeah, we mall walk at Somerset sometimes. And so we were there last Monday, and I said, and we're walking around, you know, and we're pushing Zach, you know, and just carrying around and just looking at stuff. And I said, Sarah, I think the longer I kind of walk with Jesus, and I kind of come into the mall, and I look at the advertisements that's in the windows, I think the more I'm aware of like what the message is, some of the messages that's coming from the ads, you know, like they're, of course, every ad that's in the window wants you to, is giving you some sort of reason to buy the product. They're giving you some sort of reason, right? Why would they put the ad up? They want you. And so a lot of times it's making you say, like, you need this. You need this. The advertiser is saying you need this, or you want to look like this person, so buy this, you know? Whether it be sunglasses, like the Sunglass Hut or whatever the name of the place is, or eyeglasses, or, you know, whatever. There's, you guys go to Somerset Mall and look and see, like, what is this ad saying, really? And a lot of times, you guys, it just doesn't match. You know, it doesn't match. And again, there's nothing wrong with going to Somerset. There's nothing wrong with buying, purchasing things. Like, I bought this shirt, like, when I was there, right? But if it becomes an idol, you know, or if it pulls you away, or if you're not being a good steward of what God's given you, if you're not obeying Him, then it becomes a problem, right? So, but just one of the things we're going to have to endure is culture. Because it's giving us different messages. The Bible says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, endure hardship. Here's the last one. How to finish the race is finish the race, right? Okay, so look with me in verse 6. This is how he ends out. And we have one more section of 2 Timothy. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. All right, so the last thing is to preach the word, endure hardship, and then finish the race, right? So, look at Paul. I mean, one of my favorite verses is 2 Timothy 4:7. So like my email is brady247@gmail.com, because this is like my verse. It's like, I have finished the race and I have kept the faith. You know, so that's, you guys, if I die on the way home, if I die on my way to Kalamazoo, I'm going to Kalamazoo, like, tell my wife that this is what I want on my tombstone, right? I have finished the race, right? I've fought the good fight and I've finished the race. Like, this is what we want. You know, we're all, even me, all of us in this room, I mean, we're not in our 80s, we're not in our 90s, we're all still pretty young. And we still have like a long, we don't know when our race will end. We don't know, like, it could end today, but what we want is this. We want to, like, finish strong. Kind of like on the video was saying, like, it's easy to start things strong, isn't it? Like, I think of Megan, or I think of anyone who runs a marathon. It is so easy to start strong, where everyone's lined up at the race, at the starting line. It goes off, the sound, the gun goes off. People start running, you know, and people are like all excited. People are like going like this. People are doing crazy things. Those who are more seasoned runners, like at a marathon, they're like more focused, you know. Those who are doing like the 10K or the 5K, they're kind of like, woo, you know. But you know what? At the end of the race, it's a different story, isn't it? Like, you start strong, but man, is it hard in almost all things to finish strong? Almost all things. It's easy to start strong. Almost hard. Really hard to finish strong. But what you want to hear is, like, now in store for me is the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. So, man, what you guys want to hear at the end is, like, man, here is your crown. You want to hear the Lord say, my good and faithful servant, you have done well. You have done well. You finished the race strong. It's a really long race, you guys. We've got to pace ourselves, but boy, is it going to be worth it on that day? It's going to be totally, totally worth it. Why don't I'm going to close this in prayer, and then I have one last song to just talk to God and sing back to God. And so, Father, we give thanks to you for this encouragement from Paul to Timothy, Lord. There are ups and downs in life. There are hills and valleys. And there are times when we honestly just want to throw in the towel. We're just tired of running and would rather not. So, Lord, we give thanks to you that we can rest in you. We can just rest in you, that you're in control. You're sovereign, and you're good all the time. Your goodness never fails. Your faithfulness never fails. So help us to rest in you when we just are just so tired. And pray, Father, that you would help us to endure. Help us to run the race so that at the end we cross the finish line and we're walking with you. Been faithful. And we know that you're able to do it. We know that you're able to empower us to run this race. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.